This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. Taxes was getting frustrated by your forms. Now Taxes is uploading your forms with a snap, and a TurboTax expert will do your taxes for you. One who's backed by the latest tech, which cross-checks millions of data points for absolute accuracy, all of which makes it easy for you to get the most money back guaranteed. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Of course, the big story in the last 24 hours is the direct talks between Donald Trump and Putin in relation to the prospect of a ceasefire for 30 days in Ukraine. You'll be aware of the choreography whereby Zelensky, after the session in the Oval Office, agreed to unconditional 100% ceasefire. Not so clear what the Russians have agreed to. Before we come to our guest, it's a great pleasure to welcome Sir William Broder, who was expelled from Russia and his particular insights into the Putin regime. Let's take a listen to Donald Trump. He spoke to Laura Ingraham on Fox News following the phone call with Putin and had this to say.
Well, you have a situation. We have a lot of guns pointing at each other, foolishly, because it would have never happened if I were president. That was not a war that was supposed to happen. And it did happen. So that's where we are. And right now, you have a lot of guns pointing at each other. And a ceasefire without going a little bit further would have been tough. Russia has the advantage, as you know. They have encircled about 2,500 soldiers. They're nicely encircled, and that's not good. And we want to get it over with. Look, we're doing this. There are no Americans involved. There could be if we end up in World War III over this, which is so ridiculous. But, you know, strange things happen. And I think we had a great call. It lasted almost 2 hours. Talked about a lot of things and toward getting it to peace. And we talked about other things also.
All right. Well, a lot of suspicion that Putin is disingenuous about all of this and is just manoeuvring the situation as opposed to really engaging in peace. Well, who better than Sir William Broder to give us an assessment of this? Where are we at, Sir William?
Basically, we're at exactly where we were before, which is that Putin has no intention of stopping this war. He has no intention of compromising. He's made his demands from the very beginning to be total maximalist demands. And this idea that somehow he was going to come to the table because Trump has a good relationship with him and give up and do a ceasefire just is sort of fantasy. And that is how that was the message sent yesterday. I mean, putting aside all the niceties of having talked for 2 hours, Putin said no. He said no. That was as simple as that. Trump said, will you do an unconditional ceasefire? Because that's what the Ukrainians said. And Putin said no.
Well, if it's that succinct, why are there talks going to take place in Jeddah from Sunday in Saudi Arabia involving Steve Witkoff and Marco Rubio and the Russians? What are they going to discuss?
Well, so this is what I would call standard KGB rope-a-dope. They don't want to give up anything, and so why not start a whole long process where everybody is talking to everybody about everything. And of course, what Russia wants is not to give up anything. They want to get the Americans to give up sanctions, to stop supplying weapons to Ukraine, to normalize relationship with Russia, and all that kind of stuff. But Putin has no intention of stopping anything that he's doing, and he won't stop anything that he's doing. And it's always been clear that he's not going to stop anything he's doing.
So what are his objectives in terms of you know, Herb Steen in the Nixon administration had a saying, if something can't go on, and after 3 years, it's hard to see how this can go on indefinitely, it will come to a stop. And he had that kind of iron law. How do you see the end game playing out? Do you see that Russia are going to win or what?
Well, the Russia's not winning, no. So if you look at how much territory they've been able to conquer at their current pace, it would take them 150 years to get all of Ukraine. They're making no progress. And in the process of making no progress, They've lost 898,000 soldiers, either death or disability. And so this is not a great situation for Putin. But what you need to understand about it, why is Putin doing this? He's not doing this because he actually needs more territory. I mean, if you look at the map of Russia, it's gigantic. They have more territory than any country in the world. And nor is he doing this because of any this idea that he's encircled by NATO. Look, in the process of this war, Sweden and Finland joined NATO. The reason he's doing this is that he's a dictator who's been around for too long. He's terrified of his own people. And
the highest achievers among us are the people still striving, still reaching for something. The people who aren't satisfied to stay where they are and want to keep climbing higher. And it's those people who approach the impossible and embrace it. There's a vehicle for people like that. It's called the Defender. The Defender is an icon reimagined for a new generation of explorers through thoroughly modern design. Its interior is modern and functional, with rich material finishes and quality craftsmanship. When you're in a Defender, you can tell the interior is built for purpose. Luxury appointments throughout and practical storage options ensure you adventure in comfort. This is a vehicle capable of great things and engineered to meet challenges head-on. Wherever you're headed, experience the Defender's legendary capability, both off-road and on. And there's a family of vehicles for Defender. Meet the Defender 90, Defender 110, and the 8-seat Defender 130. Are you ready to embrace the impossible? Explore the Defender at LandRoverUSA.com.
He's worried that one day they'll come for him. And so what better way to make sure people don't come for him then make a foreign enemy and start a war and have everyone mad at the foreign enemy, which is what he's done. And by the way, it's not the first time he's done it. He did it in Chechnya to become president back in year 2000. He did it in Georgia. He did it with Crimea back in 2014. He uses war as a way of garnering public support. But he's boxed himself into a corner now because he can't back down. If he were to back down, if he were to compromise, then some people who were tougher or more nationalistic than him would step in and say, who is this weakling? Why are we listening to this weak guy when we're the strong men? And so Putin, in a desperate measure of survival, has to keep going. And his end game is the war. And if let's just say he wins in Ukraine, then his next step is Poland or Estonia or Lithuania. And he has no capacity to stop.
Okay. You're not putting any heed then on the stage we're at in terms of 3 years of sanctions. I understand that inflation in Russia is 21%. They have a war economy. As you say, the deaths and injuries are nearly 900,000. I mean, the Russian economy has become a war economy. Like, surely the sanctions are starting to bite.
They're biting like crazy. You can't imagine the pain that Russia is experiencing and all the bankruptcies and all the money that's frozen and all the problems they're having. And as you mentioned, the interest rates and how it's unsustainable. And if this was a normal country in which the head of state was accountable to anybody, he would have been out a long time ago. He would have been out when the first 50,000 soldiers had died or 25,000. But it's not a normal country. This is a klepto dictatorship, where they're stealing money and they're running the most fascist totalitarian regime, where nobody can say anything, and so I mean any other world leader would have stopped a long time ago, but he's not accountable to anyone. He has no constituents, and so it's kind of like looking at North Korea and saying, well, why haven't they stopped being bad guys? Because they're sanctioned right, left, right, and center, and the answer is that they're ready to starve their own people to carry on with their thing. And that's the same way that Putin is behaving here.
So let's look at this from the US perspective. So Trump has put all this personal capital into being a peacemaker. He started saying he'd get peace in 24 hours. But if after 6 months, we're now in September, and it's quite clear that the Russians are not going to give him the peace deal that he wants, like, given that he's ego-driven, surely he won't be best pleased.
Well, we don't know exactly what he's driven by. So it does not make sense, his sort of apparent love for Putin and hatred for Zelensky. It just doesn't make sense. The American people don't feel that way. 92% of Americans think Putin's a bad guy, and a majority of Americans think that Zelensky is a good guy. And that's not just the regular Americans, but also even more so within the Republican Party. If you look at the members of the Senate and the House of Representatives, they all think that, other than one or two. And so why is he doing this? Why is he siding with the bad guys? And I've always learned as originally in my life as an investor, and now even more so in, as a human rights activist, that everybody always behaves rationally. Nobody does things that are irrational. And if somebody does something that appears irrational, then we just don't have all the information. And so what is driving Trump? What do we not know that's driving Trump? And I can't answer that question because we don't know it. But what I can say is that it may not be ego. It may be something else. Who knows why Putin and Trump have this relationship, but it's not something on the surface. And so what you're saying makes sense. If it was ego-driven, then in 6 months' time, Trump would blow his top and double, triple down and help Ukraine. But we don't know really what's behind all this.
Now, the sanctions would have been really crippling for Russia if China hadn't taken their energy resources. If this unfolds, do you think China being four square behind Russia is something that they can take for granted going forward?
Well, so let's just do the hypothetical and say that Trump comes on the side with Ukraine when Putin doesn't do what he's supposed to do. Trump could very easily tell Chinese refineries that we will exclude you from all international markets and sanction you by the U.S. Treasury if you buy any more Russian oil. And they would stop buying Russian oil because they're rational economic actors that don't want to be cut off from international trade. It's very easy to do that. It's very possible to do that. And so China will continue to fund the war. And it's not just China. It's India, Turkey, South Africa, Indonesia. All these countries are buying stuff from Russia, selling stuff into Russia and trading with Russia. But one could disrupt that trade very easily if one wanted to be tough about the whole thing.
Have you got any grounds for... We saw what happened to Navalny and anyone who had any dissent against the Putin's regime and the Kremlin. For people who want to be more optimistic, looking, you know, on a medium-term perspective to 2030, what do you think the future of Russia is?
Well, sadly, I think that the more that they do this bad stuff, the more isolated they get. And eventually, it's going to be, they're moving from being sort of a mild pariah country to being an absolute sort of North Korea type of pariah country. And I think that's their future unless there is some, as you say, you mentioned Navalny, who's now been murdered by Putin, but that there's sort of a very small, but not zero probability that the whole thing blows up, that Putin pushes too hard, that the deaths are too many, that the economy is too bad, and that it all kind of comes undone for Putin. And in that case, it's like, look how quickly Syria fell under Assad. We all thought that was forever. We thought that he was a dictator forever. And then all of a sudden, in a week, it was all over. And that kind of stuff can happen to Putin. And if it does happen, then Russia, in 2030 does have a future. But if under Putin and under this sort of KGB kleptocracy, there's no future at all. This is going to carry on as it's going.
Okay. Quite a bleak outlook. Sir William Browder, head of the Global Magnitsky Justice Campaign, and himself having been expelled from Russia, giving those insights into just how disingenuous Putin is about ceasefire talks.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.